Bhikshu brother and respected the chancellors or these elder brothers and the rest of brothers and sisters. I always use the word address when I address brother and sisters. In reality, we all human beings on this planet are actually brothers, sisters. So that is, I feel, important. In order to create peace, firstly, inner peace. Without inner peace, full of anger in our emotion, how can develop peace? So in order to create peace, firstly, we must develop peace within ourselves. So then, I always, you see, telling people, peace must come through inner peace. So now inner peace, the basis of inner peace is love, compassion, not anger, not jealousy, not other sort of the fear. So consider we other people as our brothers, sisters. And immediately, you see, you get the feeling closeness. Actually, I think compassion, love, actually towards the being, in human case, human being, not humans or what's it, different kasota, background, social background or like that. So on that level, we all are the same human being. I always consider myself, I am just one of the 7 billion human beings. If I stress, I am Dalai Lama, His Holiness 14th Dalai Lama. Then, you see, that if too much emphasis that, then I get the lonely feeling. Because out of 7 billion, in 7 billion human being, one Dalai Lama. So if I had too much emphasis on that, then I feel lonely. When I look people as our brother, my brother, sisters, and immediately you see, I feel very close. So we need sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings. Like we Buddhist monk, Buddhist usually you see praying for entire sentient being. So entire sentient being, I think the sentient beings on other galaxies, you see, we have no connection, only prayer. So connection, connected to the thing, only our own world. Now within the world, limitless other animals, birds, fish, insects. For this, we only pray. Otherwise, we can, nothing can be done. When we see some animal suffering, it's only so strong feeling. Otherwise, nothing can be done. then only 7 billion human beings. We have this human brain. With that, we have language. So, you through language, we can share each other. And some of our own experience can share with other fellow human beings. So, the sense of brothers, sister, brotherhood, sisterhood, is, I feel, key factor. Firstly, to bring inner peace. Inner peace, peace with fear cannot go together. Fear comes distrust. Other hand, compassionate mind really, you see, bring inner strength. That automatically reduce fear. Fear is the one component of anger. Fear, too much stress, then frustration, then develop anger, then violence. So simply, if you criticize violence, not sufficient. We must go to causes of the violence. External cause there, but main thing is inner cause of anger. That's fear. So now we have to sort of stress the counterforce of fear. That's trust. Trust entirely based on friendship or closeness feeling. That's basis of that. That is sense of, obviously, we are same human being. I practice that and share other people. So therefore, whenever I talk, I always use the word brothers and sisters. On that level, no differences due to different religion, due to different color or different sort of professions or different sort of family background. Rich and poor, or believer or non-believer. And this nationality or other nationality. That's a secondary level of differences. Many man-made problems are human beings created problems. This problem entirely based on secondary level of differences. My nation, my religion, their religion, and within same believer, same sort of nationality, say, we are upper class, they are lower. And we rich family, they are poor. So make distinction. That creates this strong sense of we and they. Then the jealousy or quarrel, violence, all come on that level. So only remedy is emphasis. We are same human being. Entire humanity, actually our brothers, sisters, and oneness of humanity, that attitude develop. Then eventually, these man-made problems which we are really facing now, today's world. This very moment, we are quite, how should I say, happy, peace. At the same time, same planet, same human being, in the Middle East or in Africa or some other places, or killing. Killing by a human being. So occasionally when we saw some report of one human being killed by elephant or tiger, we a little bit, oh, very unfortunate. But then human being killing by a human being is more or less now normal news. Very unfortunate. And violence, what is the value of violence? Firstly, destroy our own peace of mind. And then immediately, destroy peace within your own family and your own community. So immense violence took place in 20th century. First World War, Second World War, Korean War, Vietnam War, and so on, and the civil wars. According to some historian, they say in 20th century, around 200 million of people killed through violence. Immense violence. What sort of result come from that immense violence? If better world, new shape of world come, and then some people may say, or that immense violence produce some good things. That's nothing. Beginning of 21st century, some violence here and there. These is traces of previous centuries' immense violence. As I mentioned earlier, we too much sort of make distinction, we and they. Then, they no hesitate to destroy them. Actually, part of humanity. Now, today's world, due to global warming, more nature disaster now increasing, including earthquake or these things. I think the Assamese now here, the Brahmaputra, one way sacred, one way troublemaker. A lot of flood comes. Now, I think now, decade by decade, I think Brahmaputra water, I think will reduce. Because global warming, because of the glaciers in Himalayan range and further north Tibet, due to global warming, my own lifetime, I noticed when I was very young, in some mountains surrounding Lhasa, on top, usually some snows come, particularly during winter time. But that, within my own sort of, I spent in Lhasa about 20 years. So gradually, the snow less and less and less. At Dharamsala, where I now live, in 59 and 60s, early 60s, during winter time, more snow fall. Now that, after now, 40, 50 years, gradually reduce. So therefore, now, meantime, human population increasing. When I first came to India as a refugee, then we used to say 6 billion human beings. Now 7 billion human beings. According to some expert, end of this century, human population will reach 10 billion. So now nature resources, some sort of scarcity, And then meantime, among 7 billion human beings, huge gap, rich and poor. In this country, India, also you see huge gap, rich and poor. So the poor people, their living standard must have lived. So natural resources also now these very much because of involved. So therefore, now we human beings, I think, should work together. Must share each other in order to seek happier humanity. Old century, because of that, old century's way of thinking, too much emphasis we and they, is now outdated. We must think of humanity. So one of my commitment is promotion of sameness or oneness of humanity. That is entirely based on human compassion. Then look down there. Wait. Then look at the questions. Pen. Good. So wherever I go, I always talk. We are same human being. Now time come, we must make effort to create clear understanding. We are same. And my future depends on rest of the humanity. So if you wise enough, it's a selfish, wise selfish, then for your own interest, you must take care of other. You see, out of selfish, not thinking other, is foolish selfish, short-sighted. That brings more disaster. Take care other, more compassionate attitude, your own interest, then we'll get maximum way. That's a reality. Like that. So therefore, all major religious tradition always talking, always carry the message of love, message of karuna, and in this country, ahimsa. Because, you see, basic human nature, we need unity, harmony, friendship. So all major world religious tradition, in spite of different philosophy, all carry the same message of love. Whether the theistic religion or non-theistic religion, all carry the same message. In the philosophical field, there are differences. But that's okay. These different philosophy, same purpose, to bring genuine conviction about practice of love, forgiveness, these things. Okay. Some say there is creator. So the creator also infinite love. So we are children of that kind of father. So that concept very helpful. You see, to develop conviction, the practice of love. Then non-theistic religion, like Buddhism, no creator. Buddha stated we are self as a self-creation. That's Buddhism as well as Jainism. You see, so also think or future of yourself depend on yourself. If you do because of the wrong thing, you have to face consequences. If you do good thing, you get benefit. So that one way of approach. So in order to good or bad, I think a basic basis of demarcation, good and bad, is anything which benefit oneself or others, that's good. Anything which harmful to other, long run, yourself, is bad. There is no absolute sort of demarcation. Simply, physical action, verbal action, nice thing. You yourself also feel happy. The other also feel happy. That's good. Angry face and harsh word. You yourself also at that moment, no longer any peace of mind. Agitated mind. The other also, even including dogs, if you say, oh, some shouting and doing like that, a dog also unhappy. Isn't it? When you look, smile, and the affectionate face towards the dogs or kasachuti, or cats. And one time in Austria, one garden, when I visit there, you see, some visitors, you see, carry some sort of seed in there for the farm. And suddenly this, or some birds come and enjoy. So the compassionate attitude really bring certain sort of as a warm atmosphere. So therefore, irrespective whether believer or non-believer, we need a clear awareness, the value of compassion. Furthermore, now according to scientists, basic human nature is more compassionate. Over 30 years, I have serious sort of discussion with scientists, mainly cosmology, neurobiology, and physics, particularly quantum physics, then psychology. So, this is some of these scientists, through their investigation, they now make conclusion, basic human nature is more compassionate. That is really a basis of our hope. If basic human nature is anger, then no hope. Biologically, we human beings and all other social animals, loving kindness is very sort of important factor for maintain your good health. Some scientists say constant anger, constant sort of hatred, fear comes. That experience actually eating our immune system. So in order to have healthy body, you need a healthy mind. That's peaceful mind. So irrespective whether believer or non-believer, these are, we are not talking about next life. About talking about, you say, heaven. No. Just our presence in the world. We want happy world, peaceful world. I often is telling, now previous century, 20th century becomes century of violence. Now, this 21st century should be century of peace. In order to create genuine peace, inner peace, as I mentioned earlier, very essential. So this century should be compassionate century. So, and then all religion, all use different philosophical views, all aiming to strengthening this inner value. So religious harmony, on that basis, we can develop genuine harmony among the different religious traditions with the mutual respect, mutual learning, like that. And then, so now I would have to take questions. So now I usually sit telling people, I make distinction. The generation of 20th century and the generation of 21st century. Uh, including myself. And I think most of these elder brothers and sisters, I think we belong to the 20th century. Now younger generation, those young students whose age below 30, below 25, raise hand. So, now you are the generation of 21st century. The 20th century, history of 20th century, whether happier one or sad one, gone. Nobody can change that. Now, past is past. Future not yet come. So there is opportunity to change future. So generation of 21st century, now, this 21st century, now, at the beginning, 2017. So remaining decades are yet to come. So you can change. You can start certain work, certain effort, with certain vision. Is it to create a peaceful, compassionate century? So if you start work now, within your lifetime, you will see better world, happier world, less killing. My generation will not see. So sometimes I said, sort of jokingly, is telling the young students, after around 15, 20 years, I will go. Then, even you see, according because of the theistic religion, even I, in hell, I may get some, what's the day? I may get permission to visit world. Then I will watch. This 21st generation, if you carry with vision, with warm-heartedness, better world, happier world, less violence, then when I return to hell, I will report, now the size of hell can reduce. Other hand, if you also, you see, carry the style of our life, materialistic life, not much thinking about inner value, and a lot of trouble, a lot of killing, then I will report to the authority of the hell. Oh, please, now hell should expand. Because a lot of people, the generation of 21st century, these people also now indulging more violence. So I will report. So now 21st century's generation, our real hope is on your shoulder. Now for that reason, existing education system, firstly, I think compassion, even social animal, also have limited altruism. That's not sufficient. Now we need infinite compassion. We need that kind of compassion. Animal, only the surrounding sort of same animal. We think about humanity. So therefore, human intelligence, human brain is key factor. We have the ability to develop infinite love because our intelligence. So now the instrument to open our intelligence is education. So education is very, very important. However, existing education system very much oriented about material value. I think British introduced this modern education in this country. I really feel sad when the modern education started in this country. I think the Indian sort of scholars, including sort of these religious leaders, I think should participate. What kind of education system introduced in this country? That means modern education plus our own 1,000 years is a certain sort of knowledge about our emotion, about our mind. These, I think, should include. Not happened. So now, one of my commitment these years is trying to revive ancient Indian knowledge or Indian thought about the inner world. So more and more now Indian really showing that. So quite encouraging. So because India is, I think, out of 200 different nations, India is the only nation who can combine modern education, modern technology, plus ancient Indian sort of knowledge, how to tackle our emotion, how to bring peace of mind. You can combine these two things. So, therefore, now, 21st century generation of India, I think you should make you should look more wider perspective. That I want to share. Okay. So, now some questions.
Namaskar, His Holiness. My question is, in view of the growing non-violent movements across the world, what is your view what is your view on the future of the non-violent movements?
World? Obviously, judging event in 20th century, early part of 20th century, you see, I think individual nation, when they declare war on their neighbor, every citizen of the nation proudly, without any question, proudly join war effort. Now, that kind of thinking, later part of 20th century, much changed. Now, for example, the Iraq War, about Iraq War, millions of people from Australia up to United States come out against, express against violence, war. And then another sort of example, like French and Germany, in the past century, fighting arch sort of enemy. But then later part, after Second World War, the Adenauer of German president and De Gaulle, French president, you see, during war, very negative arch enemy. But then, you see, they realize war, too much emphasis on national interest is narrow-minded, long-run self-destruction. Therefore, the European Union start. Now Great Britain, now leaving, they may have their own sort of reasons. But otherwise, you see, these member states of European Union, in the past, you see, fighting each other, killing each other. Now, one might I consider not only my friend, but also is my teacher about quantum physics. One German physicist, von Weizsäcker. In 1990s, around the 90s, one day he said, we just talked, and he told me when he was as a young German, every French eye, German is their enemy. Similarly, in German eye, like that. But that kind of sort of attitude completely changed, he told me. Now French, German, you see, this, I think, leading sort of two states who create European Union. So these are signs of human being becoming more mature. Human being experience too much suffering through violence. So now European continent, I think they much suffer First World War, Second World War. And before also, you see, they're fighting each other. So through that, they realize now national interest very much related with common interest. Therefore, they create the European Union, and each individual sort of money, they willing to adopt euro like that. These are, I think, a sign of maturity. I feel like that. So therefore, and then look, Japan. I think during wartime and before that, you see, they really quite tough and put a lot of sort of effort for making a war machine. After Second World War, now Japan, I think a leading nation who oppose violence and particularly nuclear weapon. I have been Hiroshima, Nagasaki. The people, I think, very much sort of concerned about peace and free nuclear weapon. So therefore, I think generally, humanity, general, overall humanity thinking, I think much better. So I'm optimistic.
Namaskar to His Holiness. My question is, ethics central to the development of a complete human personality. So how do we educationalize the elements of ethics in academic programs?
Now, end of this month, in Delhi, we're going to have one sort of conference. Some universities, some professors, and like Tata Kasa. Social Science Research. You see, they already create certain sort of draft about secular ethics. So now, end of this month, we're going to have some serious meeting. So we will adopt a draft curriculum of secular ethics, strictly not based on religion, but use our common experience and a common sense and a scientific finding. So once you see that, finalized, still as a draft. So some university, I think including here, I think, you see, you can start or use that sort of curriculum and then watch what effect next 2, 3, 4 years. Then if you find some quite useful, then you can extend to more schools, more colleges like that. So if you're willing, I would like to send you invitation to participate in that conference. So we need, you see, further sort of discussions of more research work. And anyway, that's the only way. There's no other option. If present education system continuously, then because education very much oriented about material value, so generation who come from that kind of education, and eventually their way of thinking is always think about material value and money and power like that. I think in British and Europe, when modern education system, you see, as a start, the moral principle, moral matter, they totally rely on religion. Now, not adequate. Today's reality, out of 7 billion human beings, around 1 billion non-believer. And then, among the believer, when they are in temple, in church, looks religious people. But outside church, outside temple, not much concern about this sort of real teaching. They simply carry their usual business. And then worst thing is religion itself now causing division and killing. Recently, now these days, in Arab countries, Christian, Muslim, some problem. And within Christian, in Northern Ireland, I have been few occasions, Northern Ireland, Catholic, Protestant, very much negative each other, and also killing, violence. Then, the recent years in Burma, some Buddhist monk also, you see, harming some Muslim community. So one time, Time magazine show one picture at cover page. One picture of one Burmese monk and mentioned Buddhist terrorist. I feel very uncomfortable. So some mischievous people in every religious sort of community. But that should not consider, you see, because of that, you see, you consider the whole religion is something wrong. Nowadays, you see, people, you see, quite often, you see, mention Muslim terrorist. It is absolutely wrong. Some terrorists come from Muslim community, but their action is not according to Islam. So therefore, we should not use Muslim terrorist, Buddhist terrorist, or Hindu terrorist. Wrong. Terrorist is terrorist. Any person once indulge the negative action, terrorist action, no longer genuine Islam practitioner, genuine Buddhist practitioner. Like that. So therefore, overall, I think, so therefore, now we must. So therefore, religion. Of course, I am Buddhist monk. In my daily sort of life, about 4 or 5 hours meditation, prayer. For my own sort of development, mental development, transformation of my own emotion, immense sort of effective, immense sort of value. But when I look humanity, the religion, yes, if properly practice religion, properly study, then it is useful. But I think 7 billion human beings, all, I think religion, I think not adequate. So therefore, secular ethics, which can cover 7 billion human beings, and that also through education. That's the only way. That's how I feel.
Namaskar, Dasi Ture Ningpose. I offer warm welcome and gratitude to His Holiness.
Thank you.
So my question is, how do you recall your days in Tawang and Tajpur?
Very clearly. And March 17th, 1959, things become, I said, no other choice except escape. Then, that night, 17th March, 59, I escaped from Summer Palace, we call Summer Palace. And then eventually, I reached Kanchanabani, the border. And then people from Tawang area, they very much, they warm welcome me. And of course, the local officials, and mainly Government of India sort of instruction. So, I have always very much sort of that, because of vivid way, several vivid sort of memory. And then Tajpur, my first official statement made in Tajpur, because there are a large number of media people all over the world come there expecting. I didn't meet them, but one written statement in my name is stated. So, yesterday I met one, because of the old Assam Rifles soldier. Yesterday, he told me he was among the sort of Assam Rifles. So one of the soldier. His age now 78 or something like that. His face, although my age now 82, so I'm older, but the face is concerned, my face is much younger. I really very much moved. Then I sort of hugged away. 58 years passed. Like that. But then, so, the 1959, I think end of March, I reached India. Since then, I become the longest guest of Indian government. And with India's freedom, and also the support from the government, now, 58 years, one way, lost my own country and a lot of suffering in our own country. Yet, we refugee community, including myself, now find new opportunity and go here and there and carry Tibetan spirit. A thousand-year-old Tibetan sort of Buddhist knowledge. In 8th century, Tibetan emperor invited one of the top master of Nalanda institution, that's Shantarakshita. So in Buddhist tradition, Pali tradition, mainly is Buddha's Dharma teaching, first Dharma teaching at Sarnath, eventually Tripitaka. Three vessels. Three baskets. Mainly Shila, Shamatha, Vipassana. and all our monks' role, these things taught. Then the second Dharma wheel at Rajagiri. Now, mainly, you see, the concern or the topic of anathma theory. Although first Dharma wheel also, you see, mentioned the four noble truth, and third noble truth, you see, mentioned anathma. Then second Dharma wheel, further sort of explanation about the anathema subject. So eventually, four different school of thought develop: Vavashyaka, Sautantik, Chitta Mantra, and the Madhyamika philosophy. All these mainly Chitta Mantra school of thought and also Madhyamika school of thought. Based on Kasa, Panchaparamita Sutra in Sanskrit language. So then Nalanda masters, like Nagarjuna, his writing, one text, very important text, the Madhyamika Mulakarika. Still we use study, and not only study, meditation. Very, very helpful to tackle our emotion. So that's second Dharma wheel. Then third Dharma wheel in different places. And Yangochan Sakasa. Vaishali. That also mainly Sanskrit explanation about a clear light of mind. So all these, since Shanta Rakshita himself, great scholar of Nalanda, so he introduced in Tibet according to Nalanda tradition. So Pali tradition there, Sanskrit tradition there. So we not only just recite these things, but use extensively logic. So the Buddha himself, you see, one sutra he mentioned, he told us, "Oh, my follower, monks, scholars, should not accept my teaching out of faith, out of devotion, but rather thorough investigation and experiment." That's a very scientific way. So therefore, when I start, or say the discussion or dialogue with scientists, some Westerner who follow Buddhism, when I asked their opinion, then some of them told me, "Oh, be careful, science is killer of religion, so must be very, very careful." And I reflect the Buddha's own word, "You must investigate and experiment." So, no problem with discuss with scientists. So now, I think you know, the Mount Meru and the sun and the moon, more or less same size, according to Abhidhammakosha Karika. You see, go around Mount Meru. Abhidhammakosha Karika, wrote by Basubandhu. We also learn by heart and study this. But that part, now I am no longer believe. I believe the scientific cosmology, right, explanation about cosmology, is really proved through measurement, through telescope. So sometimes I sort of jokingly, you see, with respect, I jokingly, you see, telling Basubandhu, when he wrote Abhidhammakosha Karika, his age quite old, so he, naturally his eye not very good. So he want to see moon and sun, particularly when you see because of that clouded sort of day, and then you can see the sun. So he concluded, size of sun and moon more or less same. But actually, huge differences, isn't it? So therefore, you see, I think Sanskrit tradition, we emphasis on reason, investigation. So, but, you know, Buddhist or say the cosmology, in principle, four element, space, air, energy, heat, water, and solid. Four principle, modern scientists also same view. Then, the kasa, neurobiology. We can learn many things from Western science, and also we can give some different sort of aspect of biology, like that. And actually, through training, control our inner, our breathing, actually some effect there, like that. And then physics, nuclear physics, in principle, and Abhidhammakosha Karika and some other sort of text mentioned atom. But then quantum physics, in Buddhist philosophy, the principle of quantum physics very clear there. So one, my friend, the Raja Ramana, nuclear physicist, once he told me, quantum physics in the West, something new concept, newly developed, newly found. In this country, India, 2,000 years ago, since 2,000 years, already developed quantum physics, the concept of quantum physics. So, and then psychology, Buddhist psychology or ancient Indian psychology is highly developed. That's why I'm saying now you should pay more attention about this ancient Indian knowledge. Now today's world, a lot of problems start from here. Here, instead of love, karuna, hatred, anger, extreme self-centered attitude. This combined with intelligence, then a lot of problems, you see, happen. So now only method to deal this is you should have more knowledge about usually I describe map of emotion. Then you can, you will be better, better positioned to deal with destructive emotion, not relying on tranquilizer or pill or alcohol. Use your own intelligence, then try to tackle, you see, these destructive emotion. So, as a result of 30 years of discussion with scientists, now many scientists really showing interest about ancient Indian psychology. So sometimes I sort of publicly sort of mentioning the modern psychology, compare ancient Indian psychology, then modern psychology looks like a kindergarten level. Here, the psychology highly developed. Now, so therefore, the Shantar Rikshita, 8th century, he introduced these things. So we Tibetan, I always describe Indians, traditionally our guru, we are chela, we not only chela but also quite reliable chela, because you know 1,000 years we kept all this knowledge intact. Through rigorous study, at least 20, 30 years study, the root text learned by heart, Then each word explained according the commentary wrote by Indian master. Then use extensively logic, debate. So our knowledge, compare my knowledge with top Tibetan scholars, then my knowledge is very limited. But however, when I meet with different people, then my knowledge not so bad. Because our tradition, in the name of Dalai Lama, in spite that, I have to study normal way, normal student, with great reluctance. Sometimes my teacher threat me because I'm a little bit lazy. So now I really found, since my childhood, I learned with great reluctance or laziness. Now I found very, very useful. So these things, you see, Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So you have the, what say, the study about Buddha Dharma. Oh, so now you have to keep in your mind the Pali tradition, Tripitaka. These are foundation of Buddha Dharma. And usually, you see, some people say Mahayana and Hinayana. That sort of what's the word? I totally against it. That's wrong. The Pali tradition is the basis of foundation of Buddha Dharma. Then Sanskrit tradition further sort of now use more, I say, the logical approach. The basic sort of Four Noble Truth and the 16 Khasa. 16
characteristics. Four Noble Truths and the 16 characteristics.
Meda Tunghe Tong Tamishi.
The first noble truth, the first four characteristics of the noble truth of suffering are impermanence, suffering, emptiness, and selflessness. And then the four characteristics of the origin of suffering are known as the origin or the cause, utter cause, and then... the condition.
Then, and
then the fourth noble truth has these four characters. The third, fourth noble truth has these four characteristics, which are the cessation, and peace, and then excellence, and then there are definite emergence.
And then fourth mark, any lam rigpa truva ngenji.
The four characteristics of the fourth noble truth, the marg, or the path, are the path, practice, or accomplishment, and then and awareness, and then the agent for definite emergence.
So now, in order to explain the possibility of Nirodha, you have to explain the basic nature of mind. That is third Dharma will explain. Then all our negative emotion based on wrong view, ignorance. Kasa, ignorance, marib kasa.
Avidya. Avidya.
Avidya. So that, for that, you see, in order to understand, you see, that we need clearer understanding about ultimate reality. That's anatma or shunyata. Shunyata means nothingness, not nothingness, but things there, like quantum physics, things there, but not objectively exist. So that's shunyata and the patthisamuppada. So this, I think, the Madhyamaka philosophy is key sort of element to understand Nirodha and the possibility to eliminate our own ignorance through the practice of wisdom, pranya. So that is mainly second dharma wheel. And the foundation is first dharma wheel, like that. So that's, I think, so I really, you see, appreciate, you see, you already have Kasada Center, or Buddhist Center. So I also brought some books. Please give Kasada use, you see, these books. And later, of course, now we already have some sort of scholar, monk scholar, who also can speak English. So recently, last year, in South India, we have Kasoda. We had a symposium with modern scientists and some monk who can speak English. They also have the knowledge about sort of some field of science, modern science. So I very much impressed, you see. So we have some sort of, I think, a monk scholar who also can speak English. So first, I think you should examine. And if you satisfy, then you can occasionally say, you see, the few months course they can spend here. That's good. Next question.
Namaskar.
Yes, thank you.
And Hovavad. His Holiness, my question is, how Buddhism and Buddhist philosophy inspire us to become a better human being and to make a better human society?
Basically, as I mentioned earlier, all major world religious traditions have same potential to create compassionate person or also the good human being. We notice some Christian, some good sort of today, wonderful people like late Mother Teresa. See, her sort of such sort of infinite compassion, you see, comes from her own religion, that's Catholic. So I have a number of sort of friends among the Christian, among the Muslim, among the Jews, among the Hindus. You see, that shows all major world tradition. If you practice sincerely, seriously, then all have the same potential to produce warm-hearted, good human being. However, in the philosophical field, as I mentioned earlier, you see, there are a lot of differences in philosophical field. And philosophy is concerned. Buddhism, I think Buddhist philosophy is much more sophisticated. So Buddhist philosophy can go side by side with modern science. So and then, as I mentioned earlier, the Buddhist psychology, although the in ancient Indian tradition, Hindu tradition, the psychology and logic in century, say, I think first century, second century, third, fourth century, during those period, number of non-Buddhist scholars, logicians, psychologists, wonderful there. But these gradually, you see, Kasoda, reduce. I think many non-Buddhist sort of Indian tradition, they emphasize or they carry puja and ritual, not much serious study, except you see, some the sadhus, some khasa, chukut khasa, swamis, some are quite knowledgeable, otherwise, you see, quite few. So I think the main reason why I use we are reliable chala means, you see, while gurus own land much neglect these things, So as far as Buddhism is concerned, there are too much ups and downs. The Nalanda learning center, but ruined. Of some pigeons now, go to Kazata, here and there, like that. Very sad. When I sort of pilgrimage there, the Nalanda, and they all these, and Guru's own land, not much sort of, because of that, disappear. So now, historical, our Guru now need chela. We chela seems to say, as far as knowledge is concerned, chela become Guru, Guru become chela. So therefore, I think ancient time, among the Hindus also, very, very sort of rich. There was a real challenge to Hindus, non-Buddhists, from Buddhists, some challenge. To Buddhists, some non-Buddhist sides, some challenge. That's a mutual benefit. So therefore, now today, as far as Nalanda tradition is concerned, we chela of Indian Guru, we kept intact. So number of scientists really showing interest. So although I never sort of making effort to promotion of Buddhism in non-Buddhist country, like Europe, America, Australia, so on. I never try to promote. I never state Buddhism is best religion. I never state. For myself, Buddhism is best. But for humanity, we cannot say one religion is best. We cannot say. So therefore, whenever I give some lecture on Buddhism in the West, in America, like that, I always make clear, you have your own tradition. It is better, more stable, keep your own tradition. Rather, you see, change. I always tell. However, many, including scientists, many intellectual people, now really showing, because of the more and more people now showing interest about Buddhist philosophy. Like that. So I think I can say Buddhist philosophy certainly can be can make significant contribution to humanity. This I feel. So I usually make religion and philosophy differences. Religion mainly, you see, the faith or these things. The philosophy, just intellectual, academic subject. So non-believer, even anti-religious people, can be useful to study some philosophy. So Buddhist philosophy, not based on creator, our own sort of mind. Buddha himself, you see, come from ordinary sentient being. So then eventually become Buddha. So Buddhism come from this way, human level, go up to enlightenment, Buddhahood. Those theistic religion from God to teach us. So therefore, the Buddhism very much sort of very much involved about our mind, about our emotion, in order to tackle that. This very mind to become Buddha's mind through training, not through prayer. Okay.